So we've seen universities around the country worry about the type of federal funding that they're getting mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those has popped up over the last year and a half or so. But Wayne State is moving forward with these plans for a standalone school of public health, which they say is a way to strengthen public health education and research. Mm-hmm. Well, part of that is, well, if you're getting less money, where is that money coming from? Doing the public good, doing the university good by creating this public health school. But again, if you're getting less federal funding than you normally have, how do you make up that difference? Let's talk about it. Dr. Bernard Costello is with Wayne State University. He's the Senior Vice President of Health Affairs and joins us this morning. Doc, good morning. It's good to have you.
Good morning. Very good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
We'll talk about the funding part of this in a minute. Talk about why we need a school of public health at Wayne State.
Well, Detroit has major public health needs. We're the worst or second worst in a number of different areas for public health outcomes like diabetes, cardiac outcome after heart attacks. And we have extraordinary community, civic, academic, and health system assets. That combination makes it an ideal place for modern practice-oriented schools of public health.
And, you know, when you talk about improving health, doctor, is it really about medicine anymore, or has it kind of become just as much about, you know, the housing and transportation and clean air and education and economic opportunity?
Oh, you're identifying some of the key aspects of this. We need to work upstream further with prevention to do more with the limited dollars that we have. We spend so much money on the back end, taking care of folks that have critical health problems in the intensive care unit, for example, way more expensive than taking care of the clean air, the preventive medicine methods that we would have to improve health on the front end, making it easier to treat those problems at population scale, not at the individual scale, much less expensive.
Mm. Talk about how you find those partnerships within the city. Obviously, Wayne State is ingrained in this community, but when you look at the partnerships, whether that's private, public, things like that, in order to fund this new school, how does that work?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the main things that's important to recognize here is we're not starting from scratch. This is organizing an existing public health ecosystem within Wayne State University, things we're already doing, but improving the scale, the visibility, the community orientation that Detroit, Southeast Michigan, and indeed the nation need. So we have many of the pieces that are necessary, and it's also leveraging our partnerships with Henry Ford Health System, with McLaren, with the county, with the city, with others that are doing the same types of things. It's a force multiplier for good.
Doctor, you know, public health has increasingly become politicized. How do you keep, you know, science and medicine and public trust from becoming, you know, these political footballs?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I appreciate the fact that we have to think about our resources very carefully. But this is about economic development, which is something everybody can get behind. We were at the Mackinac Policy Conference, like many folks. And when you talk to folks like Bob Riney or anybody who is interested in economic development, they want to focus on the health of this community. It brings people in to work here when they know that we have good health care to provide. It's an improvement in our general life and lifestyle for our community to be healthy. It's mom and apple pie. There's nothing that you can't get behind here when you talk about the health of our people and our communities.
So where are you at in this process?
So great question. So the Board of Governors, our governing body, voted to charge the president, myself, other key leaders in the university to formally start the school, which is not like you think when you think of elementary school with your backpack running through the doors. It's not a single day when we start this. It's bringing those pieces together. It's organizing things for key milestones with the groups that look at the quality of our programs from the Department of Education. It's bringing the faculty that's existing together in one big unit. And it's also adding some faculty that will need to fill some gaps and enhance our platform. So it's beginning the work to really start that that amalgamation of those key assets.
And you said that this school will be more actionable than traditional public health schools. What does that look like in the real world? How will a Detroit family actually feel the difference?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to attend some wonderful schools throughout my training, some really top five, top 10 institutions in research. Those institutions are built to do high-level, numbers-oriented, quantitative research. and think about it in terms of theory and policy of what is possible. A place like Wayne State is actionable, meaning that it's designed to be community engaged. The students are embedded in the community with our partnerships that we've had, frankly, since 1868, when this place started as a medical school. It was built for the people of Detroit, and to do it in partnership with them that entire time. Most of those top 10, top 20 universities don't have relationships like we have with the community, built on decades of trust. That makes this a real lever for good and a real opportunity for our students and faculty to make a difference. Not just talk about it, not just write about it in papers and talk about it at meetings.
Dr. Bernard Costello, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it. This would be a wonderful crown jewel for Wayne State, and we look forward to seeing it develop. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You got it. Do you know who Brian Johnson is? That name ring a bell?
Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson is a former tech guy, sold his, I want to say PayPal, something like that. He was early in on a major app and sold it and made a bunch of money, right?
Okay.
Well, there was a documentary on him on Netflix from a few years ago. It's called Don't Die, The Man Who Wants to Live Forever. He has gone through extremes to live forever.
Okay. I didn't know his name, but I've heard about this.
So you know this guy.
I know this guy. Okay.
Okay, he's this longevity guru. He's talking about how many vitamins and minerals he takes a day.
Yes.
And he's very diligent in the cryo chamber and the masking and the blah, 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 blah. It's actually bizarre behavior.
Okay.
But whatever. He thinks that he will live forever.
Okay.
Sorry, this is not funny.
Don't tell me he's dead.
He has an autoimmune condition, he says, which is causing his stomach to eat itself. I only laugh because if you have seen this guy, if you have seen the documentary, you probably have had the same reaction I have, which is like, bro, eat a sandwich. Enjoy your life a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to live forever? What's the point of all of this? Don't you want to have some sort of joy? He's like, I don't have any joy. No, this is fun. I'm the Petri dish. I'm the science experiment to see how long we can do this for.
And to me,
You had a Reese's? It's awesome.
not having any joy contributes to me to you getting sick or being sickly when you're not having joy.
Right. But he says that they're going to try to figure it out. He wrote on Instagram, somewhere between 2 to 5 people on the planet have this disease that he has. I'm going to try to solve it, he says. Whatever, all those things. It's like, well, some of this stuff, yeah, you can certainly extend your life by eating healthier.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an MD to know that.
No.
But also there are genetics at play here.
Well,
and if you are predispositioned to something that you could get that has nothing to do with your eating
habits.
Heart
disease.
Correct.
From in the family.
But his point is, I can stave off heart disease by doing X, Y, and Z to make sure that I don't contribute to that.
Okay. Even though it might be in your DNA or in your genes.
Yeah, it's called autoimmune gastritis. It's a chronic autoimmune disease, which the immune system attacks the stomach's acid-producing cells, reducing stomach acid and impairing vitamin B12 absorption, things like that. So he's got something that it probably won't allow him to live forever or until he's 160 years old.
Wow.
Coming up on the other side, tensions in the UAW. We'll talk about it. It's JR Morning.